okay, I'm not going to say anything. I'm just going to try and sing. I have a real head issue, so just bear with me, please. Sometimes I think I'm in control, and I act so foolishly. Facing problems on my own, I don't know what's best for me. My mistakes at times disturb all the plans that you have made. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. And put me where you want to, not where I want to be. If I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. Remind me, Lord, I'm just a glove in which you place your hand. Not my will, but yours be done. Though I don't understand the best laid plans I made, somehow always go astray. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't be in your way. And put me where you want to, not where I want to be. If I should ask for things I want, just give me what I need. When I complain from time to time, forgive me, Lord, I pray. Lord, keep me in your way, so I won't be in your way. I need you, dear Lord, each and every single day, to keep me in your way, so I won't get in your way. Lord, keep me in your will, so I won't get in your way.
Thank you, Miss Jean. I appreciate that. That's a good thought this morning. Amen. That's a surrendered life, and hopefully that's what each of us has this morning. Would you please stand with me this morning as we read from the Scripture together? I invite you to the Gospel of Luke, chapter number 14. I'm going to begin to read in the 16th verse in just a moment. You're welcome to, if you need a copy of God's Word, there should be one under the chair in front of you. Please make use of that this morning. We just ask that you would return it to its rightful place when you're finished with it this morning. All right, let's read together, if you would please, beginning in the Gospel of Luke, beginning to read in verse number 16. Then said he unto them, a certain man made a great supper and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say unto them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things, that the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed, and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, go out into the highways, into the hedges, and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we consider your word this morning, I pray, dear God, as I yield myself to the Holy Spirit, that he would speak through me this morning to the hearts and lives of people that are here today, whether they know you as Lord and Savior or not. I pray, Lord, that they would take the appropriate action, Lord, at the end of the service, and would yield to you and yield to your will. Lord, help us today. Forgive us of our sins. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you so very much, and be seated if you would please. The title of my message this morning is Everyone is Invited. Everyone is invited. I have fond memories of mealtime when I was a boy. My favorite time of the day. Mealtime, especially supper. The Lord is using a story here in the Scripture to open the eyes of the believers and to those who are lost to a greater application. He talks about a great supper. And as we look at Scripture, we know that one of these days in heaven, that there is going to be the marriage supper of the Lamb. And what a wonderful time that we will have, those of us who know him as Lord and Savior. And the reality is that everyone is invited. Everybody has an invitation to come to the great supper. God wants you there. God loves you and God cares about you. And he wants you to be there. I'm hoping that this will be a two-part series starting today, and hopefully next week we'll end this out. But I want you to look at the threefold invitation that is given this morning. Threefold invitation. We see it, first of all, the first point is, come, for all things are now ready. Look there at verse number 17, if you would please. These are the words of our Lord. And he says, and he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. In other words, the supper is ready to be served. It is time to enjoy the things that the Lord has prepared for those who love him. And so as we consider this great thought this morning, all things are now ready. What is ready as we think about this great invitation that the Lord gives this morning? Well, the first thing I want us to see from Scripture, and that's important because, you know, the Bible interprets itself. The Bible is the best interpretation of the Bible that you ever find. The Bible is the best commentary that you will ever find on Scripture. It interprets itself. And so the first thing I want you to see concerning this great supper is that the substitute is ready. Go with me, if you would, please, in the Gospel of John, chapter number 1. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1. And I'm going to begin to read here in verse number... Well, let's give a little context here. Let's see. Verse number 26. John is talking about John the Baptist. And he says, John answered them, saying, I baptize you with water, but there standeth one among you whom ye know not. He it is who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose shoe latchet I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Beth Arbera, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John seeth Jesus coming unto him, and he saith, Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. So I want you to know that our sin substitute was made ready by the Lord God. If we continue the story, we see that it says in verse number 30, This is he of whom I said, After me cometh a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me. So this individual that John is speaking about here pre-existed. He lived before the time of John. Not only did he live a period of time, he pre-existed in eternity past. And so this is the fulfillment, part of the fulfillment of one of the oldest prophecies in the Bible, Genesis chapter 3 and verse number 15. When God promised that he would send a Messiah, he would send one into the world who would take away the sin of the world. And so he goes on to say, verse number 31, And I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore I am come baptizing with water. And John bare record, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said to me, This would be the Lord God, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God. So we need to understand this morning that our sin substitute was made ready. He was made ready by the Lord God. He came to this earth and he lived a perfect life. He went to the cross and he died as my sin substitute, so that I could have salvation, that you could have salvation. So the first thing that we need to understand about this great supper and the fact that things are ready is that God sent his Son, who went to the cross, who died on that cross to be our sin substitute. He took your place. He took my place so that we might not have to die for our sin, so that we might not have to face God in judgment like so many will one of these days who have rejected Jesus as our Lord and Savior. So the first thing that is now ready is the sin substitute, Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Son of God. Not only that, but pardon is ready. Go with me, if you would please, to the book of Acts, and we're going to go to chapter number 2, the book of Acts, chapter number 2 this morning, and we're going to plug in there at verse number 38 and verse number 39. The Apostle Paul is preaching in his first missionary trip, and he is speaking of the one who came to be our pardon, to take our place. Look, if you would, please, there in verse number, chapter number 2, and I've got this mixed up. I'm sorry. It's not the Apostle Paul. Acts, at this point, it's Peter. Notice what it says here. Oh, you know what? I'm lying to you. Go to the 13th chapter. Here we go. This will make more sense. It is Paul. My scriptures are very similar this morning. Here we find the Apostle Paul, who is speaking on his first missionary trip, here in verse number 38. He says, Be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sin. The forgiveness of sin. God has made a pardon available for you and for me, and it is through His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in authority is granted the right to grant pardon. The governor of the state of New Mexico has the authority to pardon criminals. The president of the United States has within his authority the power to pardon criminals. He pardoned a criminal this last week. Liddy, I believe his name was, who was convicted of a crime. He pardoned that individual. He's not saying that that individual is not guilty of that crime. He's saying, I am pardoning that individual. That is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ did for you and did for me. He knows all about us. He knows our sin. He knows our past. He knows everything that we have done. Verse 38, be it known unto you, therefore, men and brethren, that through this man, speaking of Jesus Christ, is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins, and by him all that believe are justified or pardoned from all things from which ye could not be justified by the law of Moses. So what Paul is saying is he's saying, pay attention to what I'm saying. What the law could not do for you, Jesus Christ has accomplished. He is marking your sin, pardoned forevermore. Justified. Just as if we had never sinned. Do not lose sight of that this morning. Your sin is in the past if it's under the blood. You will not stand in judgment for your sin at the judgment seat of Christ. That is not going to happen because that was taken care of. It was eradicated the very day that Jesus Christ died on the cross. God gave you a pardon, a total pardon of your sin. So this morning, understand that the sin substitute is ready. The pardon is ready. But not only that, also peace is ready this morning. Look, if you would please, to the book of Romans, chapter 5 and verse number 1. The Apostle Paul is writing again. This time he's writing to the church in Rome. And he says, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice what he did not say. He didn't say we had the peace of God. He said we had peace with God. In our old fallen nature, we are enemies of Almighty God. But on the cross of Calvary, when Jesus Christ died for your sin and he died for mine, that sin was eradicated. It was pardoned. It was done away with. And now you have peace with Almighty God. Every person who will stand at the great white throne of judgment is still the enemy of God. They will stand and they will give an account for everything that they did while they lived upon this earth. That is going to be an incredible day. That is going to be a day of reckoning for man. Many people say that, you know, that they don't believe in God. Well, they will. Many people say that they don't believe in Jesus, but they will. Many people say that they'll never get saved, and that's a possibility because at the great white throne of judgment, there is no second chance. We have to understand today, if we face God in judgment at the great white throne of judgment, we have absolutely no excuse. But for those of us who have been born again of the Spirit of God, our substitute was made ready. Our pardon was made ready, and our peace with God took place there on the cross of Calvary. But that's not all. This time, go if you would please, this time accurately to the book of Acts, chapter number 2, and we're going to plug in at verses number 38 and 39, and it is Peter who is speaking here. Notice what it says. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for or because of the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is upon you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even to as many as the Lord God shall call." What is Peter saying? For all those who accept the invitation to the great supper, to all those who invite Jesus Christ into their heart, they are given the power of the Holy Spirit. Why do we need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life? We need the power of the Holy Spirit in our life to help us to live the Christian life. Until Jesus comes in the rapture, we need to live the Christian life. We need to live it day by day, moment by moment, so that we can have victory with the Lord, for the Lord. And the way that we have that is through the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. But we must be careful. We have to know that if we sin as a believer, we don't lose our salvation, but we lose our power with the Lord. And so we must understand that. We must understand if we're going to have power with God, we are going to have to stay in a right relationship with the Lord. Now, I didn't say you'd lose your salvation, but I said you lose your power with Almighty God. Because the Scripture says if we regard iniquity in our hearts, He will not hear our prayer. Let me ask you a question this morning. Do you want your prayers answered? Then we need to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord Jesus Christ. We need to live a life that will honor Him, that will glorify Him, so that we can have the answers to our prayers. And so the substitute is made ready. The pardon is available. We have peace with God, and we have power with God. But not only that, provision is now ready. Go, if you would please, to the book of Romans this morning, once again, this time to the 8th chapter. We're going to plug in at verse number 32, if you would please. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 32. "He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also give us all things?" He will freely give us all things. Why is He going to do that? Because we're His children. He is going to provide for us. He is going to provide our needs. He is going to, if God has a job for us to do, He will not call us to do a job without empowering us and making available what we need, whatever we have need of. Now, here's a distinction. Sometimes what we think we need and what we truly need could be two different things. Remember the song that was sung earlier? "Lord, don't give me what I want. Give me what I need." You know what that takes? That takes surrender. That takes a surrendered heart. Because sometimes we think we know better than God what our needs are. But His promise is all things are made ready. All things, all provision is taken care of. God will give us and He will supply our every need. The last thing that I want you to see that is made ready is heaven. Turn, if you would please, with me to the Gospel of John, this time the 14th chapter. The Gospel of John, chapter number 14. And let's begin to read there in verse number 2. Jesus is speaking here. John is recording the words of our Lord. And he says, let's look at verse number 1 for reference. He says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are what? Many mansions. If I go," he says, "if in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you." Jesus is simply saying, you can believe this, because I'm the Son of God. I am telling you this. I will prepare a place for you. And if I prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. One of these days, we're going to see our heavenly home. One of these days, we're going to see that mansion that God has provided for you and for me. One of my favorite gospel songs, "Mansion Over a Hilltop." As a 13-year-old kid, I heard that for the first time. And I thought, man, I can have a mansion? You see, I was not raised in a mansion. I was raised in small, little, obscure places. The thought of one day having a mansion, man, that was a wonderful thought. I've got a mansion. Where is it? It's just over the hilltop. Oh, glory, glory to God. There is nothing on this earth that will compare to the mansion that Jesus Christ is preparing for every one of His children. His promise is, I'm going away, and I'm going to prepare a mansion for you, and not only for you, but for every believer. And just as sure as I go away, I'm coming back. And one of these days, we're going to get to see that heavenly home. What a wonderful thought that is. God promises us heaven. I believe it is ready today. I believe that Jesus could come any moment. As I look at this world around me today, I say, even so quickly, come, Lord Jesus. Don't wait until tomorrow. Don't wait until tonight. Lord, come this very moment. But let me say this. If He comes and you're not saved, you're not born again of the Spirit of God, for you it'll be too late. You will be left here to go through the tribulation period. And it is the most awful period in the annals of history. There is nothing in the past that will ever even come close to the 7 years of tribulation that will be upon this earth. Some people say, well, I think I could bear the first 3.5. You better study your Bible. That is going to be an awful time upon the face of the earth. There's going to be wars that are going to take more lives than have ever been taken upon the face of the earth. It will be awful. It will be terrible. But I have good news for every believer who's invited Jesus Christ into their heart. They are going to be ushered to heaven in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And we are going to appear at the judgment seat of Christ. We are going to be at the great supper of the Lamb. And we are going to enjoy that wonderful banquet that the Lord is preparing for you and for me, for every woman, every boy, every girl who has ever received Jesus as the Lord and Savior. So it's a threefold invitation. The first part is, come, for all things are now ready. Heaven is ready. Secondly, come, for all classes are invited. It doesn't matter who you are. Look, if you would please, at verse number 21 of the Gospel of Luke. Go back, if you would please, to Luke chapter 14 and verse number 21. The servant came and he showed his Lord these things, and then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, go out quickly into the streets and the lanes of the city and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. Everyone is welcome at the marriage supper of the Lamb. Everyone is invited. The Scripture says that Jesus came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Who was it that Jesus presented Himself to first of all? It was the Jewish people. It was His own people. The Gospel of John, chapter number 1, tells us that He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Most of the Jews as a whole rejected Jesus as their Messiah. Rather than embrace Him, many of them said, we will not have this man to rule and to reign over us. You see, the Messiah was not who they were hoping it would be. They were hoping the King was coming to rule and to reign at that very moment. They did not understand and realize that He came first as a Savior, and then later He'll come as the reigning King. But in His first coming, He came to seek and to save that which was lost, and all classes are invited. The rich, the poor, it matters not. It doesn't matter who you are. Jesus said that it's harder for a rich man to enter the... It is difficult. It is very difficult for a rich man to enter the gates of heaven. Why is that? Because the rich man is relying upon himself. He is relying upon his own abilities. He thinks that he is a good person. He thinks that he's rich because He's made himself rich. He doesn't understand that it is God who has allowed him to get there. He doesn't get the fact that it is God who gave him that mind. It is God who gave him that ability. It is God who is blessing him. And he looks at himself and thinks he can save himself. Jesus also went on to say, with men these things are impossible, but with God all things are possible. You see, Jesus can save even the rich if they will simply humble themselves before the Lord. Well, he sent out the invitation, and many rejected the invitation. So he says, go out quickly into the streets, into the lanes of the city, and bring in the poor. God must love poor people. He sure created a lot of them. Aren't you glad that Jesus made a way for the poor to come to him? Aren't you glad that Jesus loves poor people? You might be poor this morning. You might be poor in a physical sense. Maybe you don't have much that the world has to offer. But let me tell you something, you have Jesus. If you'll just receive him and ask him to come into your heart. But there's a different kind of poverty. There's a spiritual poverty. And that's where every man fits. It doesn't matter what your possessions are. It doesn't matter how many homes you own, what kind of car you drive, or where you go on vacation. That matters not to God whatsoever. What matters to him is your spiritual condition. And the reality is, you can be the richest man in the world. What shall it gain a man if he gain the whole world and yet lose his own soul? What will it profit him? What profit will it be to gain everything just to lose it in the end? Somebody said about one of the Rockefellers after he died, I wonder how much he left behind. And one man said, everything. Everything. Because there's a different poverty. There's that spiritual poverty of not knowing what I don't know. I don't know that I need God. I don't know that I need him living in my life. So all classes are invited, the rich, the poor, physically and morally. But then it also talks about the halt. Who are these people that are halt? Think of the paraplegic who can do nothing for themselves. Somebody has to feed them. Somebody has to change them. Somebody has to transport them everywhere they go. It's like the paralytic that the four men brought to Jesus, and they couldn't get him to Jesus, and they took him up on the roof, and they tore a hole in the roof and they lowered him down where Jesus was. That man couldn't do anything for himself. And some people are like that today, both physically and spiritually. I mean, they don't know which way's up. They have no clue. Maybe their mental capacity is not what it could be. Maybe they had some kind of a issue when they were born. And they were not born whole. And maybe their mind is not even there. They're halt. There's nothing they can do for themselves. But I want you to know that Jesus loves that person. Jesus cares about that person. All classes are welcome to the supper. And then there's the maimed. There's the maimed, the people that might walk with a cane because maybe their legs are gone. Or have a bad leg, or a bad arm, or maybe they've got some kind of physical problem that limits them in being able to serve the Lord. May I help you to understand that God's got a plan for you. God will use you to his honor and glory. Some of the greatest examples of godly people are people that were maimed physically. Think of what was her first name? Fanny Crosby. Wrote some of the greatest hymns. Maimed. Helen Keller, a type of maiming. I marvel at when I look at some of the things that people can do in life that they can accomplish, and they have physical handicap. Maybe you have a physical handicap today, or maybe even worse than that, maybe you have a spiritual handicap. You're hung up on something. You're letting something in your past keeping you from being the best that you can for Jesus Christ. Let me give you some advice this morning. Let go of that. Bring it to the altar and leave it. Let Jesus Christ work through your heart and through your life. Johnny Erickson Tata, paralyzed. Most people know who she is. Why? Because God's using her in a mighty way. You see, everybody is invited to the supper. Everyone. The rich, the poor, the halt, the maimed, and then the blind. He even includes the blind. As I was studying for this, I was reminded that in the early 80s, I believe it was 1981, I'd gone to work for Fellowship Baptist Church here in the city. I was a staff member. And the pastor sent three of us to pastor school in Hammond, Indiana. There was Larry Kennedy, who's now an associate here. Daryl Kaufman, who was an associate of the ministry. And a peon, me. And we got to go to pastor school. And I was so impressed by a man who was there because he was blind. Can you imagine a blind pastor? But there he was with his service dog. He'd come to that great event to learn how to serve the Lord better, to be in a more effective witness for the Lord Jesus Christ. And the three of us just marveled at this man because he sat on the same row where we were. And I couldn't help but think, if God can use this blind man, I'm pretty sure he can use me. You see, as we look around, there's always somebody who's worse off than we are. There's somebody with a missing leg, a missing arm. There's somebody with heart problems. There's somebody with maybe a mental issue. Crazy like your pastor. And God wants to use you. And you're invited. You're invited to that great feast. Because God loves everyone. It doesn't matter who you are. One last point. Come because all things are ready. Come because all classes are invited. And become because there is yet room. Look, if you would please, in verse number 22. The servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Understand that as of this very moment, there is still room for you at the great supper. You are still invited. There is yet room in God's love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. There is room today at God's table because Jesus Christ died for your sin and for mine. Aren't you glad? There is room today. Not only is there room in God's love, but there's room in Christ's blood. The blood of Jesus Christ is so powerful that it can save the entire world. It can save every man, every woman, every boy, every girl who has ever lived in the history of the world. And it is still available today. It was shed for you, and it was shed for me. So there's room in God's love, there's room in Christ's blood, and there's room in the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is not diminished this morning. He is not any less powerful today than he was on the day of Pentecost. There is still room in the power of the Holy Spirit. He can help you. He can help me to be a witness. He can help you. He can help me to live the Christian life. He can help us this morning. Not only that, but there's power in the provision of Almighty God. God is just as interested today in winning the world as he ever was. And he can still supply the funds to send missionaries around the world to the far reaches of the world. There's not a lack of resources with Almighty God. There's only a lack of our being faithful. So understand today that there's still room in God's economy. There's room in heaven today for you and for me. Jesus said he was going to prepare a place. There is still room. There's room at the cross for you. There's room at the cross for you. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There is room at the cross for you. Oh, won't you receive him today? Won't you invite him to come into your heart? Won't you accept him as your Lord and Savior? Because understand this, one of these days, just as sure as the door was shut, when God closed the door of the ark and no one else could come aboard the ark, one of these days, this day of grace is going to be over. One of these days, the church age will be done. One of these days, the last Gentile who is ever going to be saved during the church age will be saved, and the door will be shut. What an awesome thought. What if it were today? What if Jesus were to come today? You say, well, if Jesus comes today, then I'll just accept him because I'll know that he's taken Christians to heaven. No, you won't. Because the scripture says that for those who have heard the gospel before, that he is going to send strong delusion, and you will believe the lie. There is no hope for the Christian who has heard the gospel after the rapture of the church. So do not count on that. It will not happen. One of these days, the door is going to shut to salvation. One of these days, the days of the Gentiles will be fulfilled. The church will be removed. And that person will never have an opportunity again to accept Christ as their Lord and Savior. It will be too late. My friend, do not let that happen. Come today while there's still time. Come today while there's still room. Though millions have come, there's still room for one. There's room at the cross for you. Father, help us today. What an awesome thought. Lord, you died for all people. You died for all classes of people. It doesn't matter who they are. You died and made a way available so that all classes could be saved. You died so that sinners could be born again of the Spirit of God and receive the pardon that God has made available to every man, every woman, every boy, and every girl. Help us today before it's too late. In Jesus' name. Amen.